Well, welcome to another podcast. I'm honored to be joined by a mutual friend, Big John Edwards today, who is a former Major League Baseball player drafted by the Reds, and he went on to play for the Rangers, later ended up in Japan, and as you'll get into our story, COVID had alternative plans for him, along with a few other mountains and valleys along the way. So I hope you enjoy our conversation today. John, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lance. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I will make a slight correction. It was actually the Cardinals that I
The
was talking.
Cardinals.
Yeah,
Yes. I
I know we were just discussing all the teams, but the Cardinals were the ones that drafted me in 2006. So
I knew as soon as I said it, I was like, man, it wasn't the Reds.
both red. They both were red. So yeah, close enough.
Well, hey, the first question I ask everybody is the last date you were on. So share with us maybe a little bit of your marriage story with Caitlin, and just share with us the last date you and Caitlin were on, and what does that reveal about your leadership?
Man, yeah, that's really cool. That's a great question because I feel like we don't do that enough, honestly, with four young boys. It is a challenge also who we feel comfortable with leaving them all with, for the protection of our children, but also for the babysitter's sake of who can handle four boys that are all under the age of eight. But actually, yeah, recently we went on a date, and it was just to go Christmas shopping. So I don't know if you even count that, but we had a babysitter and just the time to get away and kind of go hang out and walk through the stores and not have to be chasing a toddler or yelling at your 8-year-old to stop climbing on something. No, it was good though. We enjoyed that, and Caitlin has been just like we had an amazing we have an amazing marriage, and the way God had set up our marriage was, I was just thinking about that earlier as I was getting ready, and how the Lord, just the way he brought us together. I kind of had a time in my life where I was dating and looking around, and I thought, and when I drew close to the Lord, I just had a point where I felt like the Lord just put it in my heart to have a family and a wife, and it was like kind of no more messing around. And and then he brought Caitlin across my path, and she's just been nothing but supportive. And I can honestly say I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for her. So
Love it. Love it.
yeah.
Christmas shopping and getting away from four boys is definitely respite, without a doubt. With our four girls, 13 to 8, like anytime we're around families that have boys, I'm like, man, they just play at a whole different level. Like the energy, and God's given them a unique ability to have power that unintentionally destroys everything in their path.
That is true. I've been saying ever since we bought this brand new house, I'm like, the next house I buy is going to be like a tin box, because I feel like I'm constantly like a garbage truck walking around picking up after them. But it's not all negative though. I mean, it's a challenge, but we don't take it lightly, and getting to parent our children, and we take that very seriously, the responsibility of raising four young godly men. So
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, after great date night, what is your preferred style of working out and staying physically well?
That's a good question too. Ever since baseball, I can't say that it's been very consistent as far as what I do. I feel like I kind of bounce around. I have done a lot of, especially at the latter part of my baseball career, I did a lot of isometric type training, and what we call extreme iso holds. So a lot of like a 5-minute lunge of getting past all those, I guess, ATP storages, and really just trying to get length, restore length back into the muscles and the tissue. So I still try to incorporate that, because anytime I go back to, like, say, a traditional lifting, if you will, I tend to feel a lot more aches and pains than I do doing that. So it seems like every time I do that, I get this reminder of like, oh, you probably need to do those ISOs or spend a little more time working on the tissue than just trying to break it down. So yeah, I do a lot of that, but and we just like to walk. Caitlin and I like to walk a lot and just talk, and it's a great outlet for us.
Love it, love it.
Yeah.
This morning, I mean, it got cold in the garage, and so
Yeah.
kind of like yourself, I was like, I'm gonna opt for something different. So I did like 20 minutes of yoga this morning, like
Yeah.
right. That's a lot of the isometric holding positions,
It is, yeah.
and that was only 2 hours ago. And I'm like, I'm already sore.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how that can happen. I'll try to hang on the bar for 5 minutes and just like, it's like at 30 seconds I feel one pop, at a minute I feel another pop. But it's a good pop. It's like just, everything stretching back out. And when especially not being on a baseball field anymore, where I'm, maybe sitting behind a computer or doing different things throughout the day, I really, really need that more than I did even then, I think. So,
That's good.
yeah.
I know we don't have time for your entire story, especially the story I heard, I guess, 2 months ago at a men's event. But maybe for a few moments, if you could share with us like one of those valleys that was formative for you, meaning that so many times, like, right, we see professional athlete or a successful businessman or whatever in our mind's eye is our desired future, our desired dream. And as men, oftentimes we live in this fear, this anxiety, this shaming, like, well, I'm not them. And they got there with complete ease, right? But we don't know the valleys of their life that ultimately shaped who they are in that character that they currently are flourishing in. So could you share like just a glimpse of what that is and maybe what you've learned about one of those valleys? Because I mean, I know there's cancer, I know there's Tommy John, I know there's going from team to team to team and overseas and COVID.
There's definitely been a lot. Yeah, I mean, in the cancer thing, since we're talking about marriage and kind of sharing my wife, I had just got signed with the Rangers 2 years prior on a minor league deal. I had converted and became a pitcher, so I was an outfielder drafted by the Cardinals out of high school in 2006. Played about 4 or 5 years in their organization. Had somewhat of a prodigal son type story. Ended up playing a year of independent ball in 2011 in San Angelo, and while I was there, made the decision to convert and become a pitcher. And so the manager sent me to another independent team that was literally the lowest level of what is considered professional baseball. We got paid, but I think it was probably like $50 a week, literally, and living with a host family, and so, which was great. It was a good experience. I often think of the story of Joseph when I think about that time of my life and what I was going through, and just walking it out. I've thought about writing a book about my story multiple times, and thought of the story of Joseph, and thought of titling it something like "From the Pit to the Palace," kind of thing, because that's really what it felt like at the moment. Even though the people and stuff that surrounded me during that time were great, so it's not a negative thing against any of that, but just just the level of comparison of playing in that league, the Pecos League. In fact, when I got called up to the big leagues for the first time, I was the first player, and I don't know if I still am the only player, but I was the first player that had made it to the big leagues and played in that league. And so the motivation, for me was always at that point in my life, and still is, was that I wanted to glorify God. And so walking through that, that's kind of what just kept me motivated and carrying me. And then got to the point in my life where I met Caitlin, and then got to the big leagues. And then soon after, we had found out I had cancer. I had testicular cancer, and that was in December. So I got called up August 15th, and then December 15th got that diagnosis. And Shortly after that, in I guess February-ish, we found out Caitlin was pregnant with our first son, Benjamin. So yeah, it was a crazy roller coaster, and that's why, I said earlier, when God brought Caitlin into my life, when we got connected, we had only been married about a year when that happened, a little over a year, because it November 1st was our anniversary. And I had just gotten called up for the first time. So things seemed to be, on the up and up. And then I kind of, got that report, which felt like a pretty big blow at the time, especially considering all that I had just overcome and accomplished to get to where I was. But thankfully, Caitlin, my family, the people that I surrounded myself with were grounded in the word. They were grounded in, and they believed that the Lord wanted healing and provision for my life, and that He wasn't done with my life. And so, honestly, that was all there was. And it was just having that constant, environment, and then just soaking it up the whole time, and continuing to just take steps, put one foot in front of the other, and one foot in front of the other. And so I just kept meditating on other people, also stories that were had walked through something similar, and maybe even a lot worse. And I chose to just agree with that, to be honest, because I can remember getting that report, and I remember sitting in my car with Caitlin right after, and I just started crying, and just broke down and was like in frustration and disappointment, and like, why? I think everybody asked that question when something like that happens. Because I also, not to mention, I mean, if that's this point in my life, I'm like, I'm killing it in the weight room. I'm trying to eat right. I'm eating organic foods. I'm like taking care of myself, trying to do the best I know how to do. And then I hear that. And so when you ask that why question, you feel like you're trying to do everything as well as you can. And then you get that, that kind of report. Was pretty frustrating. But instead of dwelling there, like I said, I just kept feeding on the good stuff, and it was short-lived. We had peace about having surgery to remove the mass, and we walked that out, and we felt like in the process that we were supposed to trust God with our kids, and that He would provide that for us. And I was, reminded of Abraham and Sarah. And before I met Caitlin, that was something that the Lord had put on my heart. He was like, "Do you want a Hagar or a Sarah?" And so when I met Caitlin, I would also often kind of refer to her as that, like, I met my Sarah, And so anyways, so we just walked it out together. We didn't stop, and it was, like I said, 2 months later that Caitlin was pregnant with Benjamin, and now we have four boys, as I mentioned earlier. So we've been really blessed to kind of walk that out.
And that was how many years prior to that did you end up in Japan? How
So I ended up in Japan. That was in 2014 that I got that diagnosis. And then I ended up going to Japan in the 2020 season during COVID. So 2020 and 2021. So, and in the middle of, in between those two, I made a full recovery, went back, played for the Rangers, for another year, was up and down between the major leagues and AAA, had a good year, and ended up getting traded to San Diego Padres at the end of that year. And then did really well, finished well with that team in the big leagues, and they had given me a job as a back-end reliever, which was a big deal in baseball that offseason. And I got to camp, and next spring, about halfway through, ended up having some elbow pain and ended up missing the whole season, and ultimately ended up having surgery, Tommy John. I tried to do alternatives all the way through because I really didn't want to have surgery. But by 17, I had completely torn the ligament in half. So the only option at that point was to reconnect it and have surgery. So
Yeah. How do you believe that possibly one of the first early seasons of a valley prepared you for the next 6, 8 years of life, right? Tommy John's and Japan and COVID and some of those stories.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that the biggest takeaway from it was that when I got released by the Cardinals for the first time, I thought, I recognized that I wasn't Big John, the baseball player, for the first time in my life. Because in my mind going into it, I thought I was going to be in the big leagues in a couple years. You know, I'd be in living in New York City and driving a Ferrari or something, you know, and just living the high life, you know, at 18, 20 years old. That was where my mind was at. When I got released, it was like all of a sudden baseball could be done. Like, is baseball really what God wants for my life? And I think I started to switch my thinking started to change at that point, and the way I was thinking and the way I was living. And so finding my identity in Christ was really the big takeaway, and knowing that my value wasn't as a baseball player. It was just as a human being, as a child of God, and then ultimately ended up being, you know, as a father and some other things that became more of a priority to me than even baseball. And so, so once I got to those other valleys, you know, and it looked like there's the possibility again of my career being done, you know, those were things that I had to fall back on, and I had to keep in mind that, you know, who I am as a person is not just about baseball, even though that is a huge part of my life.
You know, John, the thing that I'm hearing connecting my story and just other men's story, just in general, like, the Father's heart towards us is always good, right? But he is pursuing our maturation, our process of becoming whole in him. Mm-hmm. And even for people who maybe have been on this path for a very long time, it seems like when we want to control something, like in that very moment, he's like, no, like this is still reliance upon me and dependence upon me. And we need to strip away a little bit more of your pride, a little bit more of your ego.
Yeah.
But in this process, his heart is still kind and good and loving as those veneers slowly shape away or drop away. And even I'm reflecting on Sunday's verse that was read, you know, Psalms 126, you know, that our tears of sorrow will become a harvest of joy.
Yeah.
But as men, we hide from those tears, and we don't want to be, we don't want to be shaped in those deep valleys of emotions. So how have you learned to not only allow the valleys to shape you? So the specific question is, like, when you notice that you're out of spiritual alignment, or you're not walking as desired with Jesus, how do you get back in alignment? And what are those spiritual rhythms and practices and disciplines for you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, the short and sweet answer and simple answer is just spending time in the Word, and spending time in prayer. That's actually something I feel like the Lord is just, you know, if you want to use the word convicted me of, I would say, you know, just reminded me, like, that intimacy with him of being able to just talk and having confidence that he's going to respond. And then aligning my thinking with the word, because I think, where I'm at in my life anyways is, and I imagine you're somewhere similar, but you know, with four little boys and in a busy life and a transition away from baseball into the next career, into the next thing, and trying to walk all that out and figure it out, it's very, very tempting to try to figure it out on my own and not include the Lord in it. And just try to, you know, use my reasoning and my understanding of things, especially the more knowledge you kind of seem to gather, the more I feel like we tend to want to lean on our own understanding. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's definitely been, there's just been a reminder of, like, if I don't, you know, there's a scripture in 1 John that says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper even as your soul prospers." And that verse hit me like a day ago, yesterday actually. And it was like, if my soul's not prospering, it's going to be really hard for me to prosper in all the things that are outside of that, right?
Wow.
And so the priority has to be that I'm getting that time in the Word, renewing my mind, and spending time praying and just talking to the Father about things and what's going on, and I'm making sure to include Him and not just trying to do it on my own, because that's really the tendency for sure.
How common is that to isolate and I've got this. I'm gonna pull myself up by the bootstraps, like right, just the modern Western male syndrome, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's a. I think there's a. It can be a bit. It can be a bit confusing because on one end you don't want to be. You don't want to be somebody that's kind of a. This is going to sound strong, but you don't want to be somebody that's somewhat of a leech, where you're not willing to work and put your hand to something, because I believe, you know, the Bible says that if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel, right? And so the pilgrims, when they came over here, they were like, they found that out real quick when they tried to use socialism. They, you know, it didn't work because only a few worked and the rest just kind of soaked it all up and lived off of that. But once they gave everybody their own plot of land and they had something that belonged to them, they all put their hand to the plow and then God blessed it. And it was very fruitful. So, I guess where I'm going with that is that there's a balance there, that we do have to work. We do have to put our hand to something, but we labor from a place of rest in the Lord. And it was that way for me with baseball. It was always, you know, like, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. And I'm going to do my part but I'm going to fully trust in the Lord for the divine connections, for the opportunity. Even the desire and the motivation I have in my heart is coming from Him. And so, because I'm following Him and what He's actually wanting me to do. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
So where do you find yourself in this season, John? What is currently happening? What are you working on? What is God building, restoring? What are you dreaming for? And more specifically, like, why does that even matter to those listening?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I will be totally transparent and tell you that this season has possibly been the hardest season of my life, and all the valleys that I've been through has been the transition out of baseball into finding out what's next for me, you know. And so, like I mentioned earlier, every time I was out, I was trying to figure out, you know, or every time I was out before, there was just like this, well, if the door closes, then God's got something better for me on the other side. And I still carry that attitude. But there's been definitely a lot of time of questioning, like, Lord, what are my gifts? What do I do well outside of being a baseball player, throwing a ball or hitting a ball or, you know, things of that nature. Because anything that's been physical for me has always been relatively more natural for me, if you can say it that way, just because of my size and athletic ability, I guess. But and so there's been a lot of that, and I've been playing baseball since I was 4 years old. So, and I'm about to turn 36. So when you do that, you know, and you live that kind of lifestyle for a long time of playing professional baseball, that's very unique compared to the rest of the world. I would just say that season of change can be difficult. And maybe where I'd relate to other people is if they're in a season of change, you know, I've heard Billy Epperhart, CEO of Carriage Bible College, say it like this. You know, most people aren't afraid of change. They're afraid of letting go of what they have. And so I think that for me, one thing that I've noticed is when things do get challenging, we tend to want to revert backwards to what feels safe, rather than to continue to push forward. And that's where, for me, my wife has been just amazing. 'Cause man, when she says, you know what, John, you can do this. Like, you have it in you. God's put it in you. Like, if you want to be a business owner, God's put it in you. Like, you can do it. And so whenever she says that, I would encourage marriages, relationships, to wives, if they're listening, to know that when you speak into your husband's life, like, it really, really makes a profound impact. Even if we don't always, get vulnerable and share that, it actually makes me like somewhat emotional, be just because of how much, you know, it's meant to me when my wife would do that for me, just because the reality is that it is a challenging season to transition sometimes, but to continually keep our eyes on the Lord, and know, like I said, that He does have something better on the other side. So for me, as I mentioned, we're talking about moving to Fredericksburg, Texas. And the reason being, the main reason being is because I got out of baseball because I wanted to get involved politically. And I shared that with you guys at the men's advance or men's meeting a little bit. And I love our country. I'm a patriot, and I just felt like it was our duty, or my duty, to do something about it. And as simple as that is, and the most challenging part and all that for me though is that Ben, that I'm not doing that to make money, because politicians shouldn't be in there to make money, right? They should be in there to serve the people, much like a pastor or somebody on staff at a church. So I mean, I knew that I wanted to get involved to do something to make things right. To try to do what I believe was right and align with the Word of God. And so the challenge has been like, what do I want to do to provide for my family? What my next career as far as that goes. And so I've kind of come to realize over the past couple of years since I've been out of baseball that I might be somewhat unemployable, and that maybe being a business owner is the best option for me. I've always gravitated towards real estate, and something that I've kind of thought about doing for a while is actually building homes, building real estate. I like being creative, and I like design and things like that. So I think that's actually what I'm going to primarily focus on, and you know, kind of prepare for the political route at some point. Continue to grow in wisdom there, and kind of ask the Lord what He wants us to do with that. And yeah, and I think we value our health a lot, and which ultimately led us into homesteading, and wanting to be able to grow our own food. So, you know, between four boys and all the other things, we have a pretty full plate.
Sounds like you've got a lot on the horizon, lot stirring in you.
Yeah, it has been for a while. But I don't know how like things will unfold in time. I think that a lot of them will happen. It may not all happen at the same time though. So
But isn't that true? I mean, just even in the context of our entire conversation, and the quote that you use from the man at the Karis Bible College is like right, once again, our identity formation, like in order to get where we desire to go, like there's gonna have to be things that are chipped away, you know, but our natural tendencies in life and marriage and business is to remain at homeostasis, where nothing gets challenged, nothing ever grows, and so we just stay in, lack of a better word, complacency. And then you look around and it's like, why aren't we thriving and flourishing and a lot of mediocrity around us? Because man, it's hard work to change. It's hard work to really grow up, no matter what age or season you're in.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's safe, right? It feels safe and secure, and people don't like to take risk. You know, Andrew Womack, who's built the founder of Karis Bible College, I've heard him say multiple times, like he said, you know, most people want to live close to the stump or the base of the tree, and he's like, I want to live out on the tip of the branch because that's where the fruit is. And when the reality is when you're out on the tip of the branch, there's a lot more risk involved with that, right? But in order to get the fruit and receive the fruit, you have to take some risk. You have to be
That's good.
willing to you know, and just kind of, I mean, I think we can take smart risk. We don't have to just be dumb about it, but and make sure that we're praying. But really, if you're following the Lord in your life, the risk is it may look big, but it's really non-existent in my mind, because he's promises and he's faithful to see that through. So
For sure. So fast forward 2 or 3 years, and we do this conversation again. Who do you want to say that you've become?
Well, I think out of all the things that I named, my number one priority right now is my children, my family. And so I honestly, it's something that I've been learning and growing in is we homeschool our children. And I want to say that I've become a better father, a better leader in my home. And that can speak into whether a business owner or a politician or any of the other things that I want to venture to do, which are, important. But if I can't lead in my home, then I'm not going to be able to lead in those places. And so, for me, the biggest goal over these, next 3, 4, 5 years, especially with the ages of our children, is really just to prioritize that and focus on them, because I don't really buy into adolescence. I believe kids are, they are extremely capable at a very young age. If we would take the time to actually pour in them and teach them. And so I think for us, that is another thing that we believe 100% is our responsibility. And I'm not knocking anybody here for if they put their kids in school or anything like that, but we believe that's our responsibility to educate, teach them, and to help them mature and grow in their relationship with the Lord, and to be better members of society, and contributors even at a young age. So I would say that would be my number one goal. And in 3 years from now, if we had that, I would like to be able to really brag on my kids, if you will, and what they're able to accomplish at such a young age.
Good. No, most of the audience that's listening are men, and we're hardwired to have a steps like, hey, give me the 1 or 2 or 3 steps, right? Like, I've heard what you said is John is all great, but like, what wisdom can you like really break down and say, hey, like, if something's resonated with you, like, take this step, take this, like, what wisdom would you just kind of close this conversation with for a man that's looking to take their next step in spiritual leadership in the home?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know if I'll have a great answer for that, because that always does seem to be the hardest part, right? Is the practical, like, how-tos of, okay, like, I'm ready to go. How do I do it? I think the thing is like, one of the things that I look back on in my life that this is something that's highlighting to me right now, but one of the things that I look back on is when I was young and I was graduating high school, just got drafted. Looking at it now, I often think, man, if I had a really good mentor in my life, it would have made such a big difference. Like, how many of those mistakes could I have avoided? How much faster could I have gotten where I wanted to go? The reality is, I would have had to have been willing to listen at that time. And so I would just say to those men that if there's something that the Lord is putting in your heart, for example, I mean, like for me, politics, part of the reason. So I said, going to Fredericksburg and be like, well, you could run for office here or you could get involved here. But the reality is that there's a group down there called the Patriot Academy. And there's a guy named Rick Green, who's a former legislator, a disciple of a guy named David Barton. And they have something pretty awesome that they're building down there. And I want to be close to it. And the reason being is because I want those guys to mentor me. I want them to teach me. I just opened an LLC to build homes. I have a mentor. I have somebody teaching me that I paid for as a coach that's going to help me. So I would just say, because I don't know the specifics of what every guy maybe is wanting to do, and so the how-tos might be hard, but finding somebody that is a mentor, that's a godly mentor, that's going to lead you in the right direction, that has the resume. And I believe the step prior to that is just praying and asking God for favor and insight. That's just like Joseph, right? It's like he goes from the prison to being the governor of Egypt, basically. And that was just the favor of God that did that and made that connection. So pray for divine connections, and find those people that can speak into your life and be coachable and be willing to listen and learn and be willing to make mistakes in the process, because I can't tell you how many times I failed on a baseball field, and was discouraged, felt like giving up, felt like quitting. And it's when you're, when, I mean, Andrew would say it like this: when you are going the right direction, most likely you are swimming upstream, not downstream. You're swimming against the current, which feels hard. And you still sit there and question, am I going the right way? He would say, he would also say this. I don't know why I have all these quotes from Andrew today, but he would say, if you're not bumping into the devil once in a while, it's probably because you're running in the same direction. So keep that in mind.
Oh man.
Yeah.
The devil that I saw this past Saturday, I bumped into him real good. So no, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Would you like to close us in any particular way? Do you have another thought, scripture, or even would you like to close us in a prayer? Man, I'm just honored to have you on today. So thank you, John.
Well, I appreciate it. I think, if I could give a word of encouragement, is kind of, I guess, just it's kind of what I said at the end of the men's advance. It's something that's been ringing in my heart, and it doesn't have to be for politics. I'm strong in that. As I said, I believe in our country. I think it was John Quincy Adams that said, "Duty is ours, and results is God. Results are God's." So I want to just, I guess I would say, to encourage the men that are listening and women. Just do what you know how to do. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. That was a word that was given to me recently, because I'm analytical. I tend to think and overthink. And a pastor just said, "Can I give you a word?" And he said, "Put your hand to the plow and don't look back." And if you feel stagnant and trying to figure out your next steps, just start taking those steps in a direction. God is so good and so faithful to get us back on track. And just stand for the truth and what you believe is right, no matter what the cost is. And I believe God will honor that, and he will help you through whatever it is you're walking through. So hope that encourages somebody.
Absolutely. Thanks again, John.
Yeah.